If you've gone to get a prop for the quote that I've had set up all day, I'll be very mid.
Debbie and Kirby are going to have a fight. That goes on a bit too long, doesn't it? Right, and I just want to say hello to Joshua Dybol. We haven't started yet. And Terry Miles. Hello, everyone. Good luck
Kirby,
with the show.
Kirby.
Yes, we need.
Kirby, again. Again. Yes.
What?
You said call me again, so I'm calling you again.
That's one of your better ones, Andy.
Thank you.
I don't understand.
Oh, Americans just have no sense of humour, don't they?
Well, we don't have a British sense of humour. That's what you're talking about.
Ooh, they're starting out for each other now.
I try to. I just don't have the cultural background.
Deb will explain it later, won't you, Deb?
By the way, Kirby, do you know the Wombles?
No.
Oh, God, he's supposed to be an Anglophile.
I don't know
Bernard
them either.
Cribbins was the voiceover for the blooming Wombles.
I followed Robert's link and saw it. But the thing is, what's the whole point? Why was that?
Because I mistyped something on our comment thread, and it came out as Omsk. And Tomsk was one of the Wombles. They're just being ridiculously stupid.
As was Omsk as well. There was a Womble called Omsk.
I don't know about that.
There was
Tomsk. I don't remember that one being all got Omsk.
Yeah, there was Omsk as well.
Okay, if you say so.
Yes, there was Omsk.
The connoisseur. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Wombles podcast.
All the Wombles were named after geographical places, because they picked their names out of Great Uncle Bulgaria's Atlas.
Okay. Hey? Great Uncle Bulgaria's Atlas, did you say?
Yes, they used that to pick their names.
Okay.
So are these characters from your childhoods, or are they from the childhoods of your kids that you had to put on the TV?
Then
they remade them as well. I remember watching them as a kid.
They're three number one singles.
Mike Bath. Yeah, we used to do it at school, in junior school. There used to be a talent concert every Christmas. And a group of us kids, we mimed to remember You're the Womble. And we had a little dance routine and everything like that. It's really good.
As I say, welcome to the 20 Megabyte Wombles podcast. Turning the nation off in their droves. Right then, I think it's time to get on with the show. Right. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 334. I'm Adam, and you have just made them angry. Very, very angry. And here's Debbie Melrose. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, brilliant, Debbie. That's brilliant.
Yeah, thanks, Kirby.
That's me, thank you. I have resident clanger for the viewers.
Why didn't you play it?
I just did. Can you not hear it? Can you hear it now?
Blimey, I've been shouted at by a clanger. And do you know what? They actually translated that, because they used to work to a script. I was watching a programme about all the classic kids things, and that one is, oh, bloody hell, the bloody thing stuck again.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, sorry, listeners are offended by the astonishingly bad language of Mrs. Melrose there. We also have Mary Lang.
Where is the girl with my toast?
Oh, Mary, your servant's not working properly.
And here we go, Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Brilliant.
See, that's good. That's brilliant.
Yes, one of your better efforts, Kirby. I can't get my clanger to sit.
I forgot that I actually had a slide whistle downstairs, and I thought about it right as we were getting ready to.
Well, what did you say? What does yours translate to?
I have no idea.
I need an elastic band to keep my clanger in position.
The thing is, why has no one used the obvious quote?
I did. I said, you have just made them very, 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 very angry. That's, that's the obvious quote.
Because
we don't care about the obvious quotes.
Yes, thank you, Mary. What is the obvious quote?
I reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
That's been used before on previous show. That's why.
Right, so you got to use it. Good for you.
No, this is the only time he ever says it like that.
Is it?
Yes, he reverses the polarity at times. He talks about the neutron flow at times.
Yeah.
He only ever once.
Yes.
During his regular era. Now he did say it again in The Five Doctors.
Yeah, good grief. The science of John Pertwee ever saying about the neutron flow. Right, I need an elastic band because it's very important this clanger stays in shot for the show.
You actually have a clanger?
Yeah, I got one upstairs.
Yeah, he's got it posted on Facebook here.
Oh, let me look. Because all this is just a slide roll. Slide whistle. Slide whistle.
It's a swanny whistle. Get it right.
Okay, let me take a look at the live stream. What? Oh, my goodness.
I'm back.
Let's run inside, too.
Run inside, too.
Right, let's get this clanger. Oh, sorry. This is very important. Oh, all right, yes, I'm just trying to get you in position.
Is it making that noise?
Yes, it is. Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you squeeze it.
Clanger is in position for the show. Quite appropriate. And Alan T. Butcher has... Be quiet. Alan T. Butcher has joined our listenership, and Terry Miles says... Oh, I already said that one. Hello and good luck to the show. Sorry, repeating.
How's my sound? Can you still hear me?
Unfortunately, it's magnificent. Let's get on with the show. Right,
the thing is that I can I've actually got the live feed up.
Yes, you're fine. You've got fast-acting broadband.
I think I might have to negotiate with She Who Must Be Obeyed, actually, when it comes to the live link-up. I'd just like to remind Andy he's banned from drinking any alcoholic or, in fact, any mind-altering substances during the production of this show. But I'm hoping if I can negotiate with She Who Must Be Obeyed that Mrs. Melrose comes around here for the show.
Yes!
What?
Yes! I miss sitting next to you!
Right then. Well, this week, by the way, listeners, this is a Doctor Who podcast. You may not be aware of this because we haven't actually spoken. Shut up! Haven't even spoken about Doctor Who so
and
far.
And tell me, when the clangers is on and they're making all the whistle noises, I mean, are you supposed to understand what they're...
No! You're supposed to try and understand them. But you...
Mary, did you see I posted a link to the actual episode of the clangers that the Master was watching?
No,
in the comment.
I wasn't watching the blooming clangers. What are you on about? Can we get on with the show?
Wait, that would be nice. I haven't been introduced yet.
Oh, I do, but that was everybody else's fault, Andy. Yeah. All right, and Andy Nunny.
No, it wasn't. Denied. That was your fault.
Andy,
cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. Which is appropriate for me because the week that I watched The Sea Devils, I also three times watched Julius Caesar and the Mother Heedle Shakespeare Company, which of course is where the quote comes from.
Thank you.
So it's very appropriate.
It's really a shame because that really wasn't worth waiting for. Yes, Kirby.
It's also appropriate because this is the very last time Havoc does stunts.
Thank you, Kirby. Right. Can we get on with the show? We're doing the Sea Devils this week. Sea Devils are quite an important program for this show because it was filmed quite a lot on location on the Isle of Wight. Indeed, it was. So, Debbie didn't know that, but she's quite excited by that particular notion.
I knew that.
I'm being facetious. Which is basically Kirby's life. Right. So, we begin the story with... something going on at sea. It looks like some sort of vessel is under attack. And I don't mean a Kirby. Before you try and jump in with some sort of tack joke. Yes.
Did you say at sea?
Yes. Oh, God's sake.
What?
I have no idea.
So he's trying to go on about being seasick. It's, again, he's trying to be his self, facetious self. Should change your middle name to Kirby
also
Facetious.
That was a quote from The Goon Show. The Tales from Old Dartmoor.
That's marvellous, isn't it?
Wouldn't it be better to quote from the Navy Lark, go left hand down a bit?
Anyway,
I've never seen the Navy Lark, sorry.
Shut up!
Well, it's difficult to see because it's on radio programmes. You wouldn't see very much.
Shut up!
How am I supposed to know that?
Shut up.
John Pertwee.
I will mute you if you don't shut up. Anyway, so the Doctor and Joe are being floated towards essentially the Master's prison, which is Norris Castle and his cows. So 1 minute they're on their way to God knows where, and suddenly they're at what looks a little bit like Yarmouth Sailing Club, which is nowhere near Norris Castle. Sort of strange. And they could have, if they wanted to go to Norris Castle, they might as well landed at East Cow somewhere, don't you think, Debbie?
Yeah, you know, somewhere a lot more obviously there.
A bit closer to Norris Castle. I mean, there's a Plymouth Ferry terminal at East Cow.
Well, they never specifically say that they're on the Isle of Wight.
I know. I'm trying to be facetious. You don't, should understand this, Kirby, as it's your as your want in life. Anyway, so yeah, the Doctor and shut up, and Joey and Joe arrive at Norris Castle. It does look rather like it's run by fascists, judging by the uniforms and the logos that are around the place. And they also arrive in a Citroen Diane with no doors. Obviously, they couldn't afford
it. It was supposed to look futuristic, according to the making of.
Virtually impossible to make a Citroen Diane look futuristic under any circumstances, yes?
It looks like it would never rain there if their doors are always open.
Hmm. Anyway, so they're
also, the doctor.
What if when it rains?
Stop talking over each other.
Also, the guards never sat down. They just stood on the running boards, didn't they?
And the doctor and Joe share one seat.
God. Anyway, so yeah, they arrive at the castle. Hang on, my slider's not moving. And the Joe is wearing a very.
Did you say slider?
Shut up! Joe is wearing a stupidly coloured suit for the episode. How it stays white during the whole production, I really don't know. But nevertheless, it does.
Stay shiny, as do the doctors.
Yes. So they meet Trenchard, who's a bit of a pompous, essentially, prison governor of the Master's prison. And then they get to see the Master, who's very comfortably sat in a Shakespearean-style robe, reading something, and he tries to. Oh yeah, they set up this scene in which the new guard goes in, and the Master tries to sort of hypnotise him, just to prove to the Doctor that he can't hypnotise any of the guards. Unfortunately, he already has. So they go down and have a very sort of polite interview with the Master.
Just popped in for tea and toast.
Yeah. All very courteous and stuff. And then again, the Doctor and the dodgy sailor bloke with a tash have a wander along the pier at Bembridge.
He's very dodgy, very Isle of Wight.
Along the pier at Yarmouth, Bembridge Sailing Club. Bembridge. And the Doctor bribes the sailor so he can borrow his dinghy.
This is very interesting. The Pertwee saying he had no use for money in his first story. So so why has he got cash?
He has got use for it then, hasn't he, if he's bribing people with it. But I think the current doctors will probably use the psychic paper, wouldn't they, too?
Yes.
Although 12, as the other American podcasts like to number the doctors, don't they? 12 hasn't used psychic paper as yet, as far as I can remember. Has he? Has he used it yet?
No, not that I'm aware of.
No.
Okay, anyway,
He's given it to Clara before, but no, I don't think he's actually used it.
And the psychic paper as well.
Hey! Stop using the innuendo. That's Mary's job. So anyway, Hart is strutting around his office with, I can't remember the name of the woman, his little sort of helper woman.
Bly. Is it Bly?
Now apparently she was in one of the previous Doctor Who stories with Troughton, and they liked her so much they recast her in this. I can't remember what the story was.
The Warriors?
Was it? I can't remember.
Thinking Warriors of the Deep.
Warriors of the Deep. No, that was a Davison story, Warriors of the Deep. Moving on. Anyway, so he spots the Doctor arriving in his dinghy, and they send some soldiers after him. And then, for some reason, Joe decides to bribe the dodgy Bembridge Sailing Club man. So she could have a motorbike thing. Well, this is where we see the scene of the Master watching the clangers just after that. I think I'll turn the sound up for that bit. No, shut up! There you are. There's the sound from the actual episode itself. And the Dark Master sort of whistling to sort of go along.
You can watch the actual episode off of the request for feedback post on Facebook.
Tom was actually quite miffed that he missed that bit because I was laughing my head off.
Okay. Is that legal, Kirby?
Wait.
What you said? You can watch the actual episode, you said.
Yeah, he posted it on my request for feedback feed, so yeah.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Is it? Yeah. Is it supposed to be?
It's a classic episode. It's not a current one.
Yeah, but the BBC are very funny about things like that.
Yeah, she was the actress was actually, in Fury from the Deep, is Maggie Harris.
Fury from the Deep, that's it, thank you.
And June Murphy is the actress.
So she walks off into the sea, doesn't she?
Yeah, see, I confused the titles.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah,
good effort, Mary, good effort.
1 to 4 and 6 of Fury from the Deep.
Thank you very much, Andy, for providing me that information.
As far as the legality of something like that being on YouTube, you find stuff like that on YouTube all the time.
I know, but I'm not sure whether the BBC knows about it and whether it's happy about it. Remember, I did this brilliant video of all the regenerations from all through the ages, and they kicked it off.
They did?
They did. That's why the only way I could actually let you lot see it is by sending it to you physically.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Thank you. The hours of work I put into that. Thank you, Kirby. Typically you. Anyway. Yes?
I've watched it.
I'll watch it. The problem is right now.
Point to Debbie. Carry on.
The geek daughter, Julia, is here.
Julia.
For spring break? No, she's not here in the room.
Well, why say she's here then?
No, let me tell you what's going on.
She's home.
She's home. Right. And when she... It makes it very difficult for me to watch anything other than whatever it is show that she wants me to watch with her. Okay. And we're watching Merlin from the beginning.
Chapter 7 of Rhys Parton's first book of excuses, listeners. A book available on Amazon via Kindle.
We're almost finished with the second season of Merlin, which I'm finding very good.
What's that got to do with the Sea Devils?
Because I can't watch things like your video of the regenerations.
Oh, that's the excuse. Sorry, I should have realized that.
That's the excuse. And I really have to work to find time to watch whatever it is that, like the Sea Devils that we're talking about.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Kirby. Kirbit? Sorry, I said Kirbit because... Because Miss Piggy just walked in to this. Alan T. Butcher just posted the Merlin Gambit.
I didn't know that your regeneration thing was different from the one that the BBC has already made.
Nope, I made it all myself. Clips I edited together myself, including.
So how long was it out there on YouTube?
About 5 seconds before they kicked it off. Yes.
Really?
But there was I edited about a year ago, but I thought I've been meaning to actually put it somewhere that you lot could see it, and finally got the chance. Anyway, can I move back to
You know where you could put it?
Where?
You could put it on Vimeo.
But why, how come it's the BBC won't kick it off Vimeo then?
Vimeo is for more artistic stuff.
But it's still copyright protected by the BBC. Can we carry on with the episode, please? I'm only on episode 1. Right, yes. God's sake. Anyway, there's a funny thing going on with the clock in the master's cell. It keeps changing time, not because it's travelling forward in time. It just keeps going backwards and forwards inexplicably within the same scene, funny enough.
I wasn't watching closely enough to see that. Sorry.
The master, by the
Which
way,
means he's, one of the questions is going to be, at what time was it when thus and so happened?
Anyway, the master, meanwhile, is plotting with the help of Trenchard. So then we see No Man's Land Fort from a distance and some sort of standard fort operators playing or getting bored, basically. They haven't got a telly or any of their radio's been destroyed, so they have to try and play drafts. Rather appropriate, because I suspect it was quite drafty on there anyway. The doctor, meanwhile, tries to take over at the naval base. And then one of the sailors gets killed by a mysterious creature. And yeah, so and then the Doctor and Joe go out to No Man's Land Fort, and then John Pertwee. They weren't allowed, apparently, to climb up there.
The
so
blows up.
Hang on, and they're not on the fort yet, so they climb up the ladder, but it's not actually Joe or and the Doctor.
It's fairly obviously,
it's fairly obviously not
so
Joe.
Obvious.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. It's Stuart Fell. This was his first stunt work for Doctor Who, and he did a whole lot of stuff. He's the one. He was the Sea Devil who flipped over. Yeah, completely during the one scene in the last episode.
I think most of the flipping over scenes are Stuart Fell in Doctor Who. See, because
he talked about in the documentary about how he wanted to make, you know, he wanted to do it, and that's why
he wanted to do it. Now we're going down a different stage. Oh, never mind. All right, so yeah, the Doctor and Joe go on to No Man's Land for a via little dinghy, which promptly blows up and then sinks, leaving them stranded with some. Alien creature that's got a bit of a death wish. So, rather, while they're stranded on the fort, they find the surviving fort operative, who's gone a bit mad, and that they sort of care for him a little bit and give him some medication.
What's he angry about?
Don't know. What?
You said he's gone a bit mad.
I'm not going to warrant that with a comment. All right, so the Doctor injects him with something. Shut up. I don't know what he injects him with, but he injects him with it, and it settles him down pretty quickly. Probably euthanasic sort of juice of some variety. And then he bumps into a Sea Devil. The Sea Devil seems to be carrying around a strange implement with a CD stuck to the end of it.
Yes.
Before CDs were actually invented, which is quite remarkable. But the Sea Devil in this instance was a pretty bad shot and sort of misses the Doctor with his little flame thingy. The Doctor, meanwhile, needs to make a turn a transistor radio into a transistor broadcaster thingy.
Yeah.
He must be related to the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Must he?
Yes, because he can do all. The professor used to make all sorts of stuff out of their transistor radio.
There's a mate of mine used that clip, and when the Pertwee switches on, what played in was Pertwee singing "Who Is the Doctor," and I think that's on YouTube somewhere. We used to play it at conventions in like the entertainment section, and he went down quite well.
Where was this?
You know the bit where he does the radio and he switches the radio on, and he gets to like pick of the pops. Well, what he did, he put the sound instead was Pertwee singing "Who Is the Doctor," you know, that song he sang to the. The theme tune. I think it's on YouTube, but we used to play at conventions when we used to do AV work, and we put it on the big screen, and it brought the house down.
Well, I hope that everybody got out of the house safely.
Yes, I hope so, too. Again. Yes, I've got Who's the Doctor on 45, just across the room from me.
Yeah, joy. Right, can we get back to the episode, please? Right, so, the Doctor, meanwhile, I like the scene, this particular scene, where he knows that the Sea Devil is going to burn its way through the door, so he basically links it to the mains. So that was quite an enjoyable scene when the Sea Devil sticks his arm through the electrified door and goes, ow!
You know, they use that, the melting of styrofoam with acetone quite a bit, and it really does look good.
I think you find, Kirby, it wasn't styrofoam, it was actually polystyrene.
By this time, just into this episode, I'd realised just how much I hated the music.
Yes.
How was it taped? By the end of it, we binge-watched it together, me and Tom. We just watched the whole thing because, you know, it's Doctor Who, it's brilliant. And Tom joined in. But by the end of it, we had earache.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch it all at once, you will get an earache, yes.
Master?
Yes.
Styrofoam on Wikipedia. Styrofoam is a trademark brand of closed cell extruded polystyrene.
What?
But it says on the obviously always write because the info text on these episodes is written by the makers of Wikipedia, and it clearly says polystyrene. Moving on.
You had the chance to watch this with info text. I didn't because
here we go. Another
Julius
excuse.
Here.
That's the same excuse.
Polystyrene, she sang Germ-Free Adolescent, didn't she, in about 77?
Oh, for God's sake. Right. Yeah, so the Doctor...
I don't remember that.
I think the Doctor and Joe...
She's a Germ-Free Adolescent.
Yes, I think she's related to polyunsaturated.
Shut up. The Doctor and Joe, I'm pretty sure, get rescued by a helicopter, and we're going to ignore you. The Doctor and Joe get investigated, taken off these forked by a helicopter. Meanwhile, Trenchard sneaks the Master in full uniform into the naval base, and
wearing a face disguise in this bit.
Yeah, so he can nick some equipment, but he gets rumbled, or not so much rumbled as spotted by Joe. He tries to hypnotise one of the naval officers, but a Master chop to the back of the neck is enough to deal with him. In fact, quite enough to deal with. His chops must be, you know, I mean... Not,
I do like the fact that guy managed to resist it. Yeah. No, I've got to do my duty.
You may be the only one.
Yep.
Hey, yeah, the Doctor, Joe spots the Master, and that sends the Doctor and Joe back to the prison where Trenchard says, of course, he's been here all the time. And the Doctor does this rather strange scene of sort of playing golf. Sort of,
yeah, potting the golf ball with his napkin across his face.
So, because there's a bit of a thing about golf, I think Trenchard tries to use golf as some sort of way of gaining hearts, not trust, but you know, friendship. And then they have a sword fight, a comedy sword fight, I think you probably call it.
Yeah, wrong sword fight. They're fighting like they've got sabres and they're holding epées.
Oh, you know, well, thank you, Debbie. God, bloody hell, Debbie's going in with Kirby. Oh, dear. Anyway,
so but it was... That, the whole story is the thing that upset Tom the most.
Yeah. Right, yeah, but it was quite a funny scene, very enjoyable as well.
Especially, so good that they used it twice, the full thing.
Yeah, but it's because it was a good scene. I think it was worth seeing
twice.
Why
were the swords just outside the Master's cell anyway?
Yes, exactly. Yes? Well, I thought you were going to say something. So, Trenchard then decides that the Doctor and Joe are to be held prisoner for a bit. And says that their passes are fakes and stuff like that. A bit disappointed, you know, looking back at this, the Brigadier isn't in this story. It really was lacking him and the others.
Yes.
They mentioned him, because they talked about the blowing up of the base. But probably maybe they couldn't, because they think, well, as soon as you get the Brigadier, all he's going to do is just go blow up the base and that's it, story done.
Well, I thought the captain sort of took his place.
Yeah, I suppose he did, yes.
It did feel very Briggish, but not the real thing.
So the Doctor is now under the control of the Master, who the Master then tries to sort of say, well, this is what I actually want to do, Doctor. I want to do this. And then he says about he take great pleasure in wiping out the human race because the Doctor likes the human race so much.
It's all the Doctor's fault as usual.
Joe manages to get away and does some improvised sign language at a window while the Doctor sat in his seat.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
What they
did. The music really stupid during this scene as well. Yeah. All the little bits as she's nudging him and doing thumbs up. The beep,
Nothing like like the. Hang on a sec. The scene with Catherine Tate and David Tennant. At the which I think that was a homage to.
But this music is important enough that they included a live performance of the music in the most recent Doctor Who proms.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Right then. Well, what's so interesting about this scene is includes some of the scene shot inside Norris Castle as well.
Yes.
So, of course, not the interior of Norris Castle wasn't used that much in this show, but there are a couple of scenes that were, which was quite good.
Yes, and they in the making of documentary, they go inside and show, like, the window that she climbed through and stuff like that.
Yes. So Joe manages to sort of get herself into the... And this is the thing. I remember having a discussion with Mary on the last episode of the show of the change in Joe's character a character that is very, very likable as a companion for the Doctor. No, she, and it's consistent now. This is the Joe I remember, like I said last week. This is what Joe's like for the rest of the time in Doctor Who. She manages to get herself into the cell and in a very quite a comedic way overcome the guards and get the Doctor out of his predicament.
She's become a very useful companion.
Yeah, she's very good.
Resourceful.
Yeah, she's very good. There's the occasional and you know, Joey-ness, but she's really, really, really very good from now on.
So she's obviously besotted with the Doctor.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's not reciprocated. Actually, he's very fond of her like a father would be to a, you know, to a child, wouldn't it?
But, well, I don't know. What about that sandwich scene?
I didn't see anything in that.
Yeah, that was mean.
That was downright mean, yes.
That was mean. That did not fit at all, bit of the sandwich.
That's kind of stuck out as him being rather mean to her.
Yes.
And then sort of at the end, Doctor.
For comedic effect, but it didn't work.
No, it was just mean. And then the lady saying, I'll go and get you some more sandwiches.
That reminds me of the scene when the other pompous bloke turns up at the end who wants to blow everything up. When he keeps on asking for food and the girls keep bringing food into him. Now, that just brought me back to that recent thing with Emma Watson and her... on Vanity Fair, ladies, is this not a ladies' magazine? Vanity
yes.
Fair. Now,
yeah.
what? Yes. Whether Emma Watson is a feminist or not, what's the issue if she's not even showing her nipples, a little bit of naked flesh on the cover of a woman's magazine? How does that affect her feminism? It's her decision to do it. I'm really baffled by the whole hoo-ha over
it. The whole thing is that there's all different levels of feminism. Mm-hmm. But the basic in a nutshell is if she wants to do it, that's her right.
But that's the thing. She is not doing, she's not sort of exploiting herself for the benefit of men.
She is. Selling a magazine. The magazine gets bigger sales when someone famous shows up naked on the cover.
Yeah, but she's not exploiting herself to men, though. Exploitation. And it's not really so much exploitation, is it? It's just, I look really good in this. You reckon?
It is. Yes. Mm. Anytime you have naked anybody on the cover of a magazine, it always sells more magazines, and that's exploitation.
But she's not naked. I mean, you know, she's
it's all covered up. She's just a bit of flesh showing.
Yeah. Mm. A bit of cleavage, and that's it. Yeah. What's the problem?
In that case, issue a bit of an apology to my regular nude model, Natalie, who very kindly models me naked when I'm doing photo shoots.
What?
She is fantastic, but I didn't realise I was exploiting her by doing these photos, so I do apologise, Natalie.
Are you selling those photographs?
No.
She finds it empowering and boosts her confidence, and she likes doing it. That's naturally.
She's very good at it, and she looks great in the photos. And no, I'm not selling the photos.
You're not exploiting her.
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying, it could be seen as exploitation. I am exploiting it in a way in which you think I'm trying to demonstrate my abilities as a photographer.
No, but if you're making a lot of money selling those, then yes,
I'm aiming to raise my profile as a professor.
We bring this back to Doctor Who.
I was wondering.
By Joe being posing naked with a Dalek.
Yes.
How much money does she make out of that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's exploiting who? You know, Joe, Casey Manning probably made quite a lot of money to pose in those photographs that poor, sad individuals went and paid money for to go and get. Who's exploiting who? Well, no, given the fact that when she did that, I was about 7, I think. Right. I couldn't even reach the top shelf, could I?
Alan T. Butcher says, as with Adam in his underwear. I don't know what he's implying there, but there you go.
You're not sitting there.
I am not. I've got my APV uniform on.
But will people watch the podcast if you sit there naked?
Oh, good point. Maybe I will.
Oh, my God.
Not today, because it's a bit nippy today. On the subject of Daleks and exploitation and stuff, thank you. He just said exploitation. Thank you, Alan. On the subject of Daleks and exploitation, the TARDIS Tavern several years ago actually reviewed there's some porn film out involving Daleks.
Oh, yeah, Daleks and Girls.
Oh, I remember that one.
Oh, you... admission.
I remember the TARDIS Tavern.
Oh, you remember the podcast, not the film.
do they even have the TARDIS Tavern anymore?
I don't know.
It's still going.
Are they?
It's still going. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Okay. Great show.
There's one a couple of weeks ago.
Friends of the podcast from many years ago. They probably think Alicia's still on it, though, to be fair. Anyway. Okay. Back to the show. Yeah, so the Masters made
Debbie.
Oh, dear.
Debbie. Show Tom the picture I posted on in the comment thread for the live feed.
It's not a freeze frame from that Dalek porn film, is it?
No, it's...
Tom actually went looking for the Katie Manning photo because I told it. I just mentioned it in passing, and he went looking.
this is dealing with the polyunsaturated.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right, back to Doctor Who. The Master's made us machine, which is very stereotypical Time Lord gadget machine, which I think is supposed to have some power over the Sea Devils. Apparently, the Sea Devils were supposed to be called the Sea... The Sea Devils were supposed to be called the Sea Silurians until they thought that don't work, call them Sea Devils. Yes?
It's... to help wake them up because some of the Sea Devils' equipment had failed, so they asked the Master to make them something to help wake up all the sleeping Silurians or Sea Devils.
Thank you, Kirby. Right, I forgot to mention about Donald Sumter.
It's clearly stated.
Thank you. I forgot to mention about Donald Sumter, who's Rassilon, the captain of the submarine. Apparently, I read something about him. He played the character quite deadpan. I can't remember what the reasons were. But there you go. There was a reason. Apparently, a very, very accomplished actor, Donald Sumter. So, then we see some scenes partly in Sandown and partly in Whitecliff Bay. I don't know how they get backwards and forwards because there's a good 3 or 4 miles in between the two locations. And then the iconic scenes of the Sea Devils coming out of the sea. Now, I was reading stuff about the costumes being not particularly good.
Oh, he is Rassilon. I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay. My God. Everybody, that has got to be worth one of these. Yeah, so apparently the costumes didn't really like being underwater. So there was a couple of scenes, instances in which... Sea Devil feet will be floating away in the sea and stuff like that. But
yes, they mentioned that in the making of.
Yeah. And they wanted to have the Sea Devils emerge from the sea, but the heads were too buoyant. They couldn't get the water, they couldn't do that.
And you can see, actually, there's a couple of the actors shaking their heads to shake the water out so they could actually breathe. Otherwise, they were going to drown. The Master uses his machine to get the Sea Devils to come out of the water. And then for some reason along the beach, why there would be barbed wire in a minefield, don't quite know.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
it's
a fort.
But anyway, there is.
It's typical for that side of the island anyway.
Oh, I just realised this is not the device I thought it was.
Oh, it's not! He's been wrong twice within a few seconds. Oh my God, this is amazing!
Well, this is this fort on the Isle of Wight where there would be protection against the Nazis coming over from France.
It's not a Channel Island. Well, it is, but it's not essentially a Channel Island. anyway, so the Doctor and Joe managed to clamber through very amusingly through this minefield where the Doctor dives on the barbed wire so Joe can crawl over him. I thought that was quite amusing.
He put his coat over it.
There was a little sub note to him diving over the barbed wire. Apparently, John Pertwee had the sonic screwdriver in his pocket and he dived over and hurt his ribs because the sonic screwdriver dug into him.
I thought he was very brave to do that.
Yeah, and of course, it looks great when he's using the sonic screwdriver with its yellow and black stripes along the side of it. Blowing up the mines and killing a few of the
He doesn't kill anything, he scares him away.
Oh, does it? Okay. So, so then they try and sort of get themselves back to Norris Castle. no, it's not Norris Castle. No, it's the naval base, I beg your pardon. They're trying to convince Hart that these Sea Devils exist and that Master has a plan. And then there's a really good shot of at night of Sea Devils emerging from the sea. The same Sea Devils, but from different angles. Apparently, the Sea Devils...
There's only six of them.
Yes.
Apparently,
there's a big... Sorry.
What was the short art as well?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a sort of continuing story about the costumes, where all the costumes ended up and appearing on other shows. And by the time they made Warriors from the Deep, there's only one actual original Sea Devil head left in the props department. Right. So the Sea Devils, meanwhile, are heading for Norris Castle, and Trenchard and the guards there are sort of fighting against them, and that's quite a good scene, actually.
Trenchard realises that because the Master's been telling him it's all about, he's building the machine against spies, you know, yeah. It's all British security, and Trenchard realises that's what's going on, and basically turns against the Master, doesn't he?
Yes, Anthony Butcher says, Isle of Wight is surely not so much an island as a sandcastle. So the Sea Devils, and this is when Trenchard dies, very bravely, has to be said. Then the Doctor and Joe enter the castle. Then they'd have a few adventures on some warships, because the Doctor wants to go down and meet the Cybermen, the Sea Devils, in a diving
See,
bell.
And you make fun of when I make...
Do I never do such a thing? What are you implying, Gerby? The Doctor goes down on a diving bell, and then... of course, I hear him talking, then suddenly they're cut off. So the diving bell gets called back up again, and it's empty.
Yeah. And Master, yes. They bring that diving bell up so quickly that if the doctor had been in it, he would have gotten the
Yes, decompression sickness.
How deep was it? It wasn't that deep.
It wasn't that deep.
It's not very deep.
No, it's not very deep.
Probably a few dozen feet.
No. But remember that the doctor's respiratory system is different.
Thank you, Kirby. Sorry, Mary. Oh, do apologise. Oh, dear. Thank you, Mary. That's the best thing you said. I'm going to get a point for that. He's a Time Lord. He can hold his breath in these chambers. What are they called again? Decompression chambers. And stuff like that. So, yes, he's
made like us, yes.
Yeah. Tom said it's a bathyscope.
It's a what?
Say it again.
Is a bathyscope. The decompression chamber is an area set up specifically on land to help someone recompress after.
Thank you very much. So, in other words, they could have pulled it up that quickly. Yes.
Did you show him the picture of a polyunsaturated?
Well, did you put it on? Where did you put it? Because I've looked on
It's underneath the live feed. You might have to refresh the live feed.
Anyway, right, back to the episode.
Okay.
Now, I have to say, the scene in which the Doctor goes down in the diving bell, and then they build it back up again, and then the Captain Hart goes and looks inside, and he comes out, and then Joe goes and looks inside, it's very long and drawn out.
Of course it is.
It's a six-part Doctor Who story. Of course it's long and drawn out.
Okay. I can't find the live feed picture he's talking about.
Anyway, the undersecretary...
Find the live feed, refresh... And come down to the comments.
She has. Anyway, so yeah, then the pomp.
Right,
shut up.
Adam saying the Merlin Gambit.
Yeah, never mind.
Alan saying the Merlin Gambit. Alan saying as with Adam in his underwear.
Yeah, never mind.
It's not there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so the pompous what's his name Walker the undersecretary turns up.
Yeah.
Orders a few biscuits and sandwiches. Throws his coats over the women.
Yeah.
And the Doctor meanwhile does meet the Sea Devils, and he's just about to negotiate an unlikely peace when the undersecretary bombs them. And the funny thing about that is that there's the Master saying, don't believe him, and the head Sea Devil is about to, and then of course as soon as the explosions start happening,
it's
sort of take him away and kill him sort of thing.
Good.
Yeah, that's all good fun. But the Doctor, he gets, I think that because of the explosions, the Sea Devil gets sort of done in, so he's able to get away and finds a submarine and gets into the submarine. I love that shot of him peering through the sort of porthole of the submarine door. Yeah. It's really quite cool. And he gets in, and they're on the submarine is a Sea Devil. I forgot to mention this. They seem to be quite friendly with the Sea Devil that's already on the submarine until the Doctor arrives. And,
should we just rush him, sir? No, better play along for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Yes.
On this instance, they rush him, and then the Sea Devil gets killed. And the submarine tries to get away, and then they fill the, they put some torpedoes or something like that And there's a big plan ahead now that what they're going to do is that the only way they can get out of this situation is by a nuclear strike on the... now, this is what gets me. And they're going to do a nuclear strike on the Sea Devils. Surely a nuclear strike will affect the local neighbourhood and quite a lot of people, innocent people in the vicinity. And this undersecretary is able to implement this nuclear strike. Not the Prime Minister.
Strange. Anyway, and so, it would destroy life for several generations in Southern England.
Yeah, but so they're just flippantly just going to, you know, and it doesn't matter about the naval people.
But he's going to have a nuclear strike along with his afternoon tea.
That's right.
Exactly, yes. And it's our duty to just destroy the Queen's enemies, apparently.
And half of England.
And the Isle of Wight, for that matter. The doctors...
Don't specifically say it's the Isle of Wight.
Be quiet, Kirby. It's not going to be anywhere else, because it's obviously a naval base, which is in Portsmouth, and an island nearby. Where else could that be? Right then. Yeah, so...
Pardon, Tom? All right, he's saying there's quite a few. He's being as pedantic as Kirby. We've already got one, thank you, Tom.
Anyway, this is John Pertwee's sort of version of the Doctor. Did like to have arguments with pompous government officials quite a lot in Doctor Who. So, yes. The Sea Devils, meanwhile, rush the base. And a lot of innocent sailors who just happened to be able to be extras in the episode got arrested by the Cybermen. Why do I keep calling them Cybermen? Sea Devils!
And arrested as well. Why are they arrested?
Well, because they got arrested. They got sort of marched in, locked in a cell. So that's essentially arrested, in my view.
They're being held prisoner.
Yeah, they're taken captive.
Well, surely they had to be arrested before they were held prisoner.
Yeah, but arresting. Well, their rights were there, you know, given a
well, you don't know. You don't know. Don't understand Sea Devil, but maybe they were. Anyway.
Sea Devil version of arrest.
Okay. There's a very, very amusing scene in which the Doctor overcomes a Sea Devil, not a Cyberman, a Sea Devil, with a few karate chops, and then one grabs him by the shoulders and makes his eyes go weird. The Master does a lot of very amusing gloating during these scenes. While the Captain Hart and Joe are sort of locked in a room that they happen to have a little hole in the ceiling, which Joe is able to get down, and this gives the Doctor and the Master the opportunity to sort of join sides a little bit.
And now they're making the device that I had mentioned earlier.
Yes, you got it wrong that time. Eventually you get
it
right.
Yes, I did.
It does eventually happen. And then a hovercraft turns up. And rather inexplicably.
Do they still have hovercrafts?
There's a hovercraft service between Ryde and Portsmouth. it's rather pleasant travelling, especially in when it's really rough. You go on one of the ferries, it bumpy as anything. Go on a hovercraft in rough weather. It's lovely and smooth, isn't it, Debbie?
They always turn it. They always stop it when it gets rough.
Yeah, sports.
How much does it cost to travel in a hovercraft?
I don't know. I haven't been on one for a while.
Too much money to get off the island.
But the thing about the hovercraft, it is the quickest journey to the mainland. I think it's about 7 minutes.
Yeah, 7-8 minutes.
Yeah, it's really, really good. If you want a quick.
How long does it take for a regular ferry?
Well, Red Funnel takes an hour.
Not if you go in Red Jet. Red Jet's about 20 minutes. No, the sneezing will not change that fact. the various battles ensue between the Sea Devils and the Navy, and there's a scene put in because John Pertwee was absolutely desperate to ride in a speedboat where he chases the Master away. And there's also a funny scene I forgot to mention where the Master thinks he's triumphed and said, right, kill the Doctor, and the Sea Devil said, no, kill both of them. And they get locked away and they think that...
It's funny how they don't ever get immediately killed.
Yeah, they get locked. Kill them. Yeah.
It's like why did the Daleks bother say
saying exterminate? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, they're locked in the cell, and of course the doctor is explaining. Master's explaining what the doctor's done in regards to the self-destruct thing, and they're all going to die if they stay where they are. And of course, the doctor said, "Well, not if we escape." And then, of course, the next scene is them. What on earth was that?
What was that?
Yeah.
I see that? Lots of green stuff in my ear. So, who yes.
Andy, are you alive?
Sorry, I've just separated the microphone. Can you hear Zach? Bet me a second.
Oh, that's what it was. Right. So, Laurie Nix has joined and posted a cuddly looking emoji. Yeah, so the doctor. What did you notice that the suit? There was an orange sort of diving suit that looked very much like one of the suits used in more contemporary Doctor Who.
Those were explained to be.
I know they were. I'm just saying it looked like the Doctor's orange space suit.
Yes, God. It did.
Anyway, so. That's
it's
right.
Orange so that it can be spotted.
I know it is. I was just remarking that it looks like the Doctor's spacesuit.
You sound like you're in pain.
So, anyway, the Doctor and the strike is averted. The nuclear strike is averted because the Doctor blows up the Sea Devil's base. And not the Brigadier this time. The Doctor committed genocide on this particular occasion. And the Doctor and the Master are floating in the Solent in these orange fluty suits. Apparently Roger Delgado was afraid of water, and to get him to do this scene was
he looked very frightened. Yeah. Actually, he did look very frightened. Yeah. When they rescued him,
and that's why when they are pulled out of the water, the Master was pulled out before the Doctor, because John Pertwee wanted to get him out of the water quickly. And the shock of it all makes the Master collapse with a heart attack. So if he's having a heart attack, not a problem, he's got two, so the other one's fine. And then of course there's a ridiculous scene in which the Doctor steps off.
The doctor
steps off and said, oh, the Master's dead. And then the other bloke comes, oh yeah, the Doctor said to say that. So how, if the Master's dressed as a doctor, there he's being carted off the hovercraft with a mask on, apparently, making him look like the dead Master. And in the window is the doctor that said that the Master was dead, looking exactly the same. As it didn't work. And John Pertwee pointed this fact out, but it was too late to change the script. So the Master sails off into the sunset with a funny grin on his face. So he can appear in his next instalment, which I think is Frontier in Space, which sadly...
fight another day.
Sadly would be the last time we see the Delgado Master, but that's enough for that. That's in the future. So the Sea Devils. Now, it's a six-part story, everybody. Now, I felt it warranted the six parts, because I was actually really enjoying the story as it went on. It didn't bother me that, oh, it's a six-part story. I think other people might think otherwise. You could admit there's a few bits of padding in there, battles and stuff like that. And there's a few bits of extended scenes that are repeated from previous episodes to pad it out.
Yeah.
But on the whole, this is one of my favourite Doctor Who stories, because it's one I remember from my childhood. And yeah, you know, the only thing that's lacked really was the Brigadier. It's quite charming. The Sea Devils don't look great, the costume wise, but you know, at the time, I think, you know, it was acceptable for them to look the way they did. But it's certainly very iconic.
On the documentary, they talk about why they got netting in, because otherwise you'd actually have naked Sea Devils. And as you just said, there's no way you can have basically naked people at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, but
that's why
their cousins, the Silurians, were naked.
Yeah.
But I think it did look effective for them to have those netting. It really, really did.
If they were naked, it would be exploitation.
That's very true. Yes, it really
did. Good grief. So on the whole, it's actually a very good story. I think the actors really went for it, as per usual in this era of Doctor Who. There's not too much of the old the havoc diving around things, but what there is of it is very enjoyable. Of course, for me personally, the location footage is very interesting and nostalgic. So I really do like the Sea Devils. What did you think of it then, Andy?
I enjoyed it. I do think it possibly was a bit too long. There was quite a bit of padding in there. It would have made a very, very good four-part story. Yeah. I mean, a six-part story, there's a lot there. It is a good story. It does drag a bit at times, but no, I think it's very well done, you know, the way they use the sea devils, and it makes it clear that, yeah, these are sort of related to Simon. I think the relationship between the Doctor and the Master is very good, because you see there's a lot of mutual respect. You know, when the Doctor is helping the Master to build the thing, and then he's got his own ulterior motive, and then when they get out, it's again, you can see, although they're enemies, they actually do respect each other. I mean, there is definitely a bromance of some kind going on there, and there's something like that. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good. Oh, yeah, sorry, I was interested. I thought you were going to carry on. Do apologize. Debbie, what did you think?
I agree with Andy that it was a little overlong. The padding was padding, but it was also quite funny. I did binge watch this, so I watched it one after the other, after the other, after the other. So the real noticeable thing was the sword fight, and then the whole sword fight being repeated again for the next episode. So we were just sort of sat there going, haven't we just seen this? But obviously we were binge watching and we're going a bit, you know, crazy with the music, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, I really did not enjoy that bit of it, but I really loved the story, and it was great to watch it with Tom. And as I wrote earlier in the week, I don't write notes anymore. I'm not analysing it. I was just enjoying it, and this was perfect for just sitting there, having a drink, watching it.
I'm glad you're watching it this way now.
Yeah, it was just wonderful just to really enjoy an episode, a story, and this was just fantastic to be able to just. Actually, I'm not analysing this. I'm laughing at it. I'm enjoying it. I'm cheering it. I'm booing it. You know, it was just good to be so involved again, whereas my analytical brain tended to just go, right, pause, write that down, pause, write that down. And I lost the flow. But this story I thought was just, I love the Master. Anything with the Master in is brilliant. And I just really enjoyed the way that they kept using all the toys as well. That was quite fun. Ooh, we've got this and we've got the
yes.
we've got the I really must do this at sea. Oh, I've got to use the hovercraft. Oh, brilliant. You know, and the stock footage of all the vessels as well.
The
and,
Navy were particularly helpful in the production of this story.
That was brilliant. It was a good touch. Yeah. And I really loved especially the submarine set because it was so roomy. I absolutely love that. So yeah, on the whole, I really enjoyed the story. I remember watching this from a long time ago, so obviously it was a repeat that was on that my dad watched with me, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I thought that the Silurian eyes were fantastic as well. I just love how goggly they were. And how
Silurian eyes, were they? Silurian did they bore them off the Silurian costumes?
You know what I meant.
These monsters, everything but what they are.
Yeah.
Cybermen, Silurians, Daleks.
Yeah, the devil's eyes were brilliant. And I really thought the because it was just brilliant. What people would now say, oh, that was really dodgy. It was like, no, that was absolutely perfect. It was a good episode, but a good story, but it could have been shorter.
That's what she said. Joshua Dybor says the music overscore and sound effects really grated on me so badly. Funny seeing the Cap, who was also in High Die. Oh, Heidi High?
Heidi High.
Heidi High. Heidi High. Heidi High. Yeah, sorry. Heidi High. And keeping up appearances. It's Eyes Give It 6.5. Shut up, you. It says Eyes Give It. Eyes Give It. He might be from the West Country. Eyes Give It 6.5 out of 10. Yes, I agree. Should have been just four parts.
So we've gone on to feedback.
No, I'm just reading it before it disappears off the screen. Kirby, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I loved watching Pertwee and all of his gadgets and being able to drive boats and all
throwing
that stuff.
Onto the barbed wire was great.
Yeah, throwing stuff onto the barbed wire. It was... I'm going to have to say it. It was too long.
That's what she said.
And the music was weird.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't bring up that the model of the submarine was created by purchasing a World War submarine model kit and altering the propeller, which got them a visit from the Ministry of Defense because they altered the propeller to a way that looked like a top secret.
Yeah, summary. I heard about that. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
So anyway, I enjoyed this very much. This is the first time I've seen this one, and it was nice.
It was nice. Okay.
Yes.
Stand by, everyone. Mary.
Well, as we've already talked about, and of course there's more, there are so many holes in this story, so many things that just don't make sense.
So, Doctor Who.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that I really enjoyed it.
Hang on, that's good. This is unbelievable.
Yes, I had to tell Tom a couple of times that it was a fictional program.
Really?
Yes. It was completely fun. That's wrong. It's a fictional.
And because I watched it just one episode at a time on different days, I wasn't hit as much with that, oh, this is taking too long, or, you know, this is overdone. Because, my goodness, there's monsters, and there's chases, there's action, you know, there's the hero, and there's the, you know, the sweet little heroine.
Heroine? So, I don't remember that being in it.
Just the elements, you know, that make the Pertwee era.
That's probably what was in the injection.
Yes.
But I'm gonna ask the obvious question: where was UNIT? I mean, this is a perfect situation for UNIT.
No, they're not naval, are they?
Well, it doesn't matter.
The times, but you would have thought with the situation escalating the way it was that UNIT having imprisoned would be involved.
But they were essentially, the Doctor and Joe were UNIT's representatives. They said that at the beginning of the story.
Well, they're lone agents. Yeah.
Yep. I just wonder, where in here did the brig turn around and say, hold on, where's the Doctor? Because he's the one who's always with the Doctor, doing everything. He had to have missed him and wonder and ask the UNIT, you know, to look into where is the Doctor.
Maybe it was his holiday, annual leave.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I did enjoy Jo. I'm liking her more, although she never will be a favorite companion, but I'm liking her more because she is showing resourcefulness and a sense of adventure and like other companions, she now is in that position of saving the Doctor sometimes. So I like that. I love the monsters. The sea devils are very well realized. The netty vests, you know, are okay. But I figured
you like the netty vests, did you, Mary?
Netty vests.
They were there to cover, you know, flaws and joinings in the costume. So I didn't mind. And the idea is, if they could have done it a little bit more string-like, the idea that it could have come from fishing nets, you know, that were out there, you know, but they were a little too regular to look like that.
Yes.
Scavenged from the floor, bottom of the...
and we already talked about how the Doctor had that little mean turn where he denies Joe sandwiches, and then he turns around and eats them all. And stuff. I think that was intended to be funny, but...
He offers them out.
And there was a scene in which the Doc and a sea devil do a high five with each other, so I thought that was very amusing. The one thing that that did strike me as funny that I don't think was intentional was with the guards that were at the castle running around in their, they all had mustaches and short capes and those strange hats. There were times when I thought I was watching a Pink Panther movie.
Oh, John Darbury, yeah.
Well, that is French looking. So anyway, so that's what I thought. I did enjoy it.
You did enjoy it.
Did enjoy it.
Good. Yeah. To sum up, we all enjoyed it, everybody. Yes.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good story.
Right. Okay. A little bit of feedback. Not much, but a little bit of feedback. Mary. You did such a good job doing the feedback from Alan T. Butcher last week. So as you can show Debbie how it's done, dispatched said feedback to you this week.
Damn, I'm all set up ready with my Facebook Messenger open. I'll close it then.
Ooh! Ooh, she didn't like that, Mary. So no, show her how it's done.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Did you send the same thing twice, or did you send me two?
No, that's got last week's one on it as well, dear. So you wanted to go right to the bottom. It's called Scaling New Debts.
So reading the one from today.
Yeah, okay. Scaling New Debts, it's called.
Scaling New Debts. Yeah. Dear 20 Megabiters, given their antediluvian nature and close resemblance to his physiognomy, there you go.
That's physiognomy, dear. Physiognomy.
Physiognomy. You make the Sea Devils are a closely studied and prescient forecast of the Nigel Farage phenomenon. You would be wrong. The Sea Devils is, of course, a closely studied examination of colonial revolt and imperialist reaction to the reemergence of indigenous culture, aided by exogenous power to further his own ends.
Yay.
The pastor's
remind me not to be drinking something while.
Yeah, I know. Wrapping my tongue and lips around these words.
That's what she said.
The master's cautious confinement in the Solent, where nothing of interest had happened for 400 years, proves opportune for him to use nefariously procured data from the Time Lords to awaken Earth's anachronistic indigenous aquatic
anachronistic
herpetological. Oh, come on. Patriotism is deployed by the master as a weapon to great effect on the human trenchard, but with abject failure to the less insular Sea Devils. But the inspired insight here by communist writer Malcolm Hulk is, of course, to use the doctor as potential arbiter of peace. He identifies potential for a peaceful settlement based upon demarcation of territory according to their non-conflicting needs, concomitant to the differing cultures involved. Further insight comes from the difficulty found in reaching for what could be a real consonance of mutual interests and assistance. Walker's cynical wish to exploit the scenario to make an impact for his own advancement completely puts the kibosh on the plan. The imperialist.
Kibosh, yes, kibosh. Yeah.
Yeah, we say kibosh.
Do you?
I say kibosh, you say potato, I say potato.
Kibosh.
Same to you. Right, carry on.
I say aluminum.
Aluminum.
Shut up, get on with it.
The imperialists' humans opt for genocide as an approach less risky to their own primacy. It should be noted that this story's government aperitif, Parliamentary Private Secretary Walker, is of course an MP on the very lowest rung of government office, an unpaid position whose primary purpose is to act as a conduit between a minister and parliamentary colleagues, sometimes referred to as a ministerial bag carrier. Given his rather stunted career, it perhaps explains his demeanor as a foolish old man in a hurry. I like the English spelling of demeanor there. We also learn that Rassilon was working undercover as a submarine.
Yes. Kirby didn't know that.
Obviously, no, monitoring the situation for the Time Lords between UNIT and the Eocene Indigenes. During the 1970s, or was that the 1980s?
Yeah. Sorry, Mary, I had to explain UNIT time to Tom because he was like, when's this set?
Yeah. All in all, the Sea Devils is one of the great ideas to be employed within Doctor Who. This is one of the great stories sustained through six episodes, well, by being very much a story of multiple strands. Sapient reptiles or dinosaurs remains an idea not really explored to its full potential in a serious science fiction. Next up, Doctor Who and the Decline and Metamorphosis of the British Empire, Volume 1. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yay! Well done, Mary!
Yes, well done, Mary.
Whew.
You can now get yourself a cup of tea.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get
something stronger.
Yes. Right, we've got some audio feedback come in. Or did anybody want to comment on Anthony Butcher's comments?
No, he's succinct as ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Now we're going to have a competition. Now Debbie can read the same feedback and see if we can understand it better. I'm joking. Joking. This is Mr. Billy Curtwright. Great, hey. Great stuff. Here we go.
How you doing? Okay, The Sea Devils by Malcolm Hulk. This is one of my earliest memories of Doctor Who. When I was a little lad, yeah. And in that context, I've always had a special... This story has always meant a great deal to me nostalgically. It really has. It must have been around about Christmas 1972 when almost every year the BBC used to repeat six parties from the previous series about this time. That's when I first saw The Sea Devils. I'd not seen it again until some years later, about the mid-80s, and that's when I gained some different perspective on the Sea Devils, actually. But there are many aspects of this story which I absolutely love, and one is, like I've said before, the gentlemanly, deep-seated, uneasy rapport between the Doctor and the Master. As far as other actors who have played the role as the Doctor and the Master, I've not seen a duo that's matched Pertwee's and Delgado's. I haven't. And I think that rapport is very evident in this story, particularly at the beginning in episode one, when the Doctor visits the Master in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the sword fight. That's an absolute classic scene in Doctor Who. I loved it when the Doctor, in the middle of a sword fight, started to snack on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Many other classic moments too, the eating of the sandwiches between Blythe, the Doctor, and Captain Hart. I love it when Blythe comes into the room, gives a plate of sandwiches to Joe. What's the Doctor say? Joe, what's this, a Sunday picnic? And takes them off and starts scoffing at himself. Quite funny. Brilliant. Classic, actually. And wasn't Joe a little bit more badass in this? When
she was.
Blythe, unconvincingly clobbered the guard when rescuing the Doctor. Yeah. Quite a different portrayal of Joe, I thought.
Yes.
And Clive Morgan was nothing short of pure brilliance as Colonel Trenchard. Yeah. Brilliant actor. Now, I love his character in this story. Fantastic. But I thought this was a great story, actually, with a great plot. And this is the type of story which I prefer in Doctor Who. You know, the concept of the attempted conquest of Earth by other beings. However, I did find this story a little bit drawn out, given that it was a six-parter, and I thought it would have benefited better had it been a four-parter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I watched this on a Sunday afternoon, thinking to myself, wow, this is going on forever, you know. And I did find the incidental music quite distracting too. But apart from that, I do love this story, regardless. And it's a special story to me for the reason that I've mentioned. Great stuff.
Hey!
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and some top themes. Some common themes among all this.
Yes.
Just to inform Billy, the story was edited and condensed into a single omnibus episode broadcast on BBC One at 3:05 p.m. on 27 December 1972, reaching 8.7 million viewers.
Yes. Oh. Thank you, Kirby, and thank you, Billy, for a lovely bit of feedback. Pardon?
Yeah, thanks, Billy.
Oh, sorry, I thought Debbie said something interesting. Okay, we've got some new feedback.
To make that podcast is in Kirk.
Yay!
La La Land by Malcolm Hulk. No, I mean the Sea Devils. The prison guards had strange uniforms. Pertwee had been in the Navy. And the Navy Lark. Mm. So he would be at home in a boat.
Indeed.
When Joe Grant climbs on the motorbike, it is still on its main stand. I expect Katie Manning could not ride it. Joe Grant knocks down two prison guards and rescues the Doctor. There's a stupid politician, as there often was in Doctor Who. Also, a convenient ventilation shaft. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. I didn't mean to say on God at the beginning. I thought we were going to go straight into the quiz. Sorry.
You got that bit wrong then. What are you munching on, Debbie?
My supper.
Your supper.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Burgers, if that's any help.
Never mind burgers. Guess what?
Adam, I have a question.
Oh, go on then. Is it time for the quiz now? Quick. Oh, go on. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on.
Watching you sip your cola.
Yes.
You sure it's cola?
I feel like I'm being spied on here.
But I don't see any ice. Do you not...
No, I find, you know, when I put ice in fizzy drinks, I find it flattens them. So I don't do it.
Here's some ice clinking for Mary.
No, I'm just saying I find it flattens the fizz. The fizz goes if you put ice in it.
I always hear how the Brits tend to drink their drinks room temperature, whereas in
no,
the US...
No, we do not. No. Never no, room temperature. It's got to be cold. No, that's bitter. Lagers have got to be cold. And especially drinks like this cola stuff, Pepsi Max, to be precise, has to be nice... out of the fridge, cold. But if you put ice in it, or for me personally, when I put ice in a fizzy drink, it always makes it go flat. And I like the fizz.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, right.
Master?
Oh,
master,
good grief. Master, yeah.
What is the symbol on the garment that the creature is wearing in front of you?
Are you talking about the clanger?
The clanger.
Belt, isn't it?
Yeah, what
I have
is
no
that?
Idea. Debbie will tell you.
It's probably a belt. It's usually they've got their armour on, basically. They wear sort of this plate
armour. Yeah, but what is the symbol?
Usually
By the way, Joshua Dyball says spot on, but I do love ice. Well, the Ice Warriors are returning to Doctor Who in the forthcoming series. Now, I was just about to do something. I can't remember what it was. Oh, yes, I remember now. Just talk about yourselves while I prepare myself.
About ourselves.
Terrible what? Attempt at comedy there.
Just ourselves, not about
Oh. Yes, I agree. I agree with that pained sigh that you just did, Andy.
Peas and carrots.
Rhubarb, rhubarb, custard.
Right. It's now time for you lot to shut up and us to do this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Right, Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the question part of this particular proceeding?
Well, Sindeb isn't taking notes anymore.
Isn't she? This could be a ploy. She's a very competitive woman. So who do you reckon?
You, Adam, you will be ahead.
Kirby, who do you think?
Stop swearing!
Master.
And Master Andy, Kirby. Who do you think will be ahead?
Kirby.
Debbie, who
you just lost.
Debbie, who do you think will be ahead?
Kirby.
You just lost.
And I think it'll be Kirby too. So... away we go. The first question. Where's my bell?
I already told you guys earlier. I didn't watch this with infotext.
Shut up, you. Right, so the first question will be going to Mary once I've got my thing over the correct appropriate sound effect. There we go. Right, Mary.
Yes.
The first question is this. What ship reported being attacked?
Who knows?
Oh, don't forget your jokers, everyone. I forgot to put jokers on here. I'm terrible.
Well, that wasn't the Sea Sprite, was it?
Hang on, I'm just putting the Joker thing up. Hang on. Right, that response is this. Point to me.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
It's the SS Pevensey Castle.
Oh, dear. What's happened to my bell?
Oh, dear. There we go. Fix it.
Well, wow, bell's got a sore throat. Okay, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who was the new man who went in to see the Master?
I don't know any of the names of anybody. Sorry.
Oh, dear. What a shame. That's a point to me. Anybody?
Well,
go on, Em.
Is it Wilson?
Yay.
Thank you.
I thought Wilson got killed in the first episode of New Doctor Who. He's in the basement of the Rose's place of employment.
Andy, Wilson! This is your question. Wilson! What colour robe did the master put on in between sessions on the rowing machine?
I think I know.
Who was this for?
It is for you, Andy.
Oh, right. It was purple, wasn't it? No, blue.
Go on, then. I'll let you have that one. Purple, blue. No, it's just blue. Yeah.
Blue outweighed the purple.
Yeah.
Depending on the your colour status on your television set. right, Debbie.
Yeah.
What did the master ask Trenchard for before... I'll just start that again. What did the master ask Trenchard for before the TV?
I
don't remember.
Ooh, I do.
Well, Andy said, I know first.
It's an Admiralty chart.
Thank you.
Right. Next question goes to Mary.
Yeah.
What wars did the Doctor mention? You get a point for each.
I've got two of them.
What wars did the Doctor mention?
I've got two of them.
What wards?
Wars, as in things that happened twice.
Okay.
They weren't battles, they were wars.
Battles? No, I don't know.
No, they were wars, not battles.
They're battles.
They were wars! God's
no, he does
sake.
Mention wars.
Well, actually, I think one of them's a war and one's a... The two I've got, one's a war and one's a battle.
Yeah, but essentially they were war. All right, whatever, yes. But Mary said she doesn't know, so it's for me. Andy, you said you do know, and they asked...
Right, it was the Crimean War and the Battle of El Alamein, because that was part of the Second World War.
I have one. I've got one.
I give 2 points to Andy for getting those right. And Kirby, what's your one?
Gallipoli.
That was mine as well, yeah.
Yeah, that was a battle as well.
There we go, right.
I'm the one who's been to the World War I Memorial.
Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Hello, Tom.
What beach did Captain Hart mention as the Doctor arrived?
Yeah, I know.
Beach?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Got it.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's covered in pebbles, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Joker.
Yes. God, bloody hell, that took some time, didn't it?
It is covered in pebbles. Well done.
Yeah. It's also got the nudist beach there now, apparently, as well.
Apparently. I haven't seen it, though. Andy.
That's me.
What Colin...
Sure.
Why does it say Colin? I shouldn't say Colin. Right, hang on, I'll change that. Otherwise, when I go and publish these questions, it will come up with saying that.
Colin.
Hang on, I'm changing that. What colour was Joe's crash helmet?
I know.
I will take a wild guess, and it was...
I know.
Grey.
Go on then, Kirby.
Red.
Oh, okay.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was the fort going to be used as?
I know.
Sonar testing station.
Oh, I'll give you that one. That'll do. Near enough.
What was it then?
Solar testing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have sonar written down too.
Well, it could be sonar, solar, whatever. It's right. Right, it's a quiz. It's a points update.
Sonar.
Never matter. Shut up. You got it right. In last place with 1 point, it's Mary. In fourth place with 2 points, it's Debbie. In third place, or second place joint, with 5 points each, is Andy and me. And in the lead with 7 points, it's, I'm not going to win this week, Kirby.
I'm not.
Okay, Mary's question next. What distinctive shape did the burn marks have?
I don't know.
Andy knows.
They were a linear nature in shape.
A little bit wibbly wobbly, weren't they?
Kirby's question.
Timey-wimey.
Kirby, this is for you. What game were the two men on the fort going to play?
Oh, easy.
You call it drafts, checkers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Andy.
Yep.
How did the Doctor stop the first sea devil from killing them?
He used a bit of Venetian Aikido.
Pardon?
His karate stuff thing, you know.
I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Didn't he electrify the door?
Oh, God, of course he did, yes.
Debbie, your question. Where in England was the Silurian adventure?
I think I know.
The Silurian adventure?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
I think I know.
I know this, but no.
You don't know, okay. Andy?
It's Derbyshire.
There you go. I had a D. I had Dartmoor in my head.
Mary?
Yes?
What did the doctor say the Silurian should have been called?
I know.
I'll do Joker.
Yeah.
The Eocene.
Bad luck, yay. Kirby.
Master?
Just said bad luck because you were so keen on answering that question. Right, Kirby.
Master?
What make of car was the door... Sorry, the doorless vehicle?
Oh, God, yeah, it's obvious.
You get an extra point for the for the brand of car as well.
I know.
It's a Citroen, but I don't know what
model. Point for Citroen, yes. I'll give you 2 points because that's the actual question. Extra point for the model. Go on, Andy.
It's a Diane.
You think of it?
All I know is before I was born, my father had a Citroen and he was very proud of it.
Okay, Andy.
That's me.
What was the name of the naval research base featured in the story?
Sea Sprite. Base of a Sea Sprite. But I should have played Joker.
Yes, you should have.
Too late.
Debbie.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
What number was by the exterior door entrance to the master's prison?
Oh, dear.
Oh, God, I've got that written down somewhere. I've got that.
Yeah, wait, whose question is this?
It's Debbie's question.
You know, I'd normally write this stuff down, but no, I know.
How about just taking a wild stab in the dark, then?
13.
What? Deserve that. Who said they knew?
I'm sure I've got it written down somewhere, and I can't find it now.
No, it's Andy.
Hang on a second. Right, hang on a second. Let me flip through my notes. It's not that one. I've got 74 written down somewhere, but that's no.
74 pages of notes?
287.
It was 6 was the answer to the question.
I am not a number. I'm a free man. Right.
So who was that question for originally before that going round? Right, let's have a score update. In last place with 3 points, it's Debbie. In fourth place with 5 points, it's Mary. In third place, second place, with joint 10 points each, it's me and Andy. In the lead with, I'm not going to win this week, Kirby with 11. We probably won't actually, because a lot of us actually predicted on him to be Ed. Right. So the next question goes to Mary. If I can find it, hang on. Aha, right. What excursion was Trenchard trying to arrange with Hart?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Go on in, Andy.
It was a golf tournament.
I only heard Andy. You must get
I only heard Andy.
Get a bit closer to your microphone, Mrs. Melrose.
He's close to his microphone, so he's kind of louder than everybody.
Kirby.
Thank you.
Master. Right. What colour was Trenchard's phone?
I don't know.
Oh, damn, I should have played my Joker then. Anybody else?
Was it red?
I beg your pardon?
Is it red?
Nope, it was blue. TARDIS blue. Right, the next question goes to Andy.
Okay, yeah.
How did the master find out about the sea devils?
I know.
Oh, gold. Read it in the paper.
Go on then, Debbie.
He found out from the stolen files from the Time Lords.
Is the correct answer.
Should have played my Joker.
not just 1 point, though, eh? Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What did Trenchard tell Hart he tried to make as a child?
I know.
Oh, God, I remember this.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Oh.
Do your Joker.
No, I don't know it. I'm trying
you
to
just,
know.
You did know it. Make your mind up.
I remembered it, but I don't know it, so no, I'm sorry.
Okay, Andy.
There's a crystal set.
Yes.
Right, so Mary's question. Mary? Right.
Yes.
This is me playing my joker on this question.
Oh, Mary.
What was Hart's Christian name?
I think I know.
No,
it wasn't Tony, Tom.
I think I know what it was.
I don't know.
Excellent. 2 points to me. Who said they knew? Wasn't it you, Andy?
It was.
Go on, then.
John.
No. Oh.
Captain. It was Captain.
Yeah, that's
Captain.
Name,
there you go.
Oh, dear. Hang on. Who was that for? That was Mary. Kirby, your question.
Yes.
What did the master assure Trenchard to try and regain his trust? He assured him something. What did he assure him to try and regain his trust? You won't get this one. I should have done this one for me, Joker.
Right. You already got the Joker.
No.
No. No idea.
Yeah, nobody. You already got your...
Does anybody know?
You already got your Joker. I already got my Joker.
Was it something along the lines of you wouldn't have believed me if I'd said it was sea monsters?
Nope, another point for me. The answer is all his troubles would soon be over.
Oh, yes, that was quite threatening, that one.
Yes.
Who was that for, that question? Kirby, wasn't it?
Me.
Andy's question next.
Okay.
What colour was the master's cell door?
Oh, my God. Black.
Anybody else?
Blue.
Pardon?
Blue.
Gray. Black, blue, grey. Yes, no.
Grey.
Indigo.
Green was the answer. Yes. It was green. A great big blatant obvious. You wouldn't have that as a green door in a green prison. It's terrible. Anyway, right. Who's that question for? Andy, was it? Debbie.
Yeah.
Yes.
What letter was on Trenchard's lapel badge and everywhere around the place? It was the logo of the prison. What letter was it?
I know.
A C.
Go on in, Kirby.
S.
Yes or no? Just go on in, Kirby. Oh, no, sorry, that was wrong. Sorry, it was this. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button. Right, okay, so we'll have a score update. In last place with 4 points, it's Debbie, Melrose. In fourth place with 5 points, it's Mary. In third place with 12 points, is perhaps he won't win this week after all at Kirby, or maybe he will. In second place with 14 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 22 points, it's me. Next question goes to Mary. Mm-hmm. And it's this. How fast was the submarine moving, according to the radar man?
30 knots.
Woohoo!
Yay! Did you use your joker?
Yep.
I think you were the only people left with jokers, are Andy and Debbie. And Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
What was the parliamentary private secretary called?
I know.
What was he called? Yeah. A jerk.
I know.
It's actually in my notes. I need to bring my notes back up.
Oh, here we go.
Switched off of them. Where are my notes? Darn it.
I would have thought it would be appropriate to get your notes ready at the beginning of the quiz, not towards the end of
it. Well, I switched over to...
We have the question again.
Yes, you can have the question again.
Sure I know.
What was the parliamentary private secretary called? What was his name?
I did say I know.
I don't know.
He doesn't know, eventually. Right, yes. Who said they knew first?
I think Debbie said it first.
Go on then, Debbie.
I'm going to play my joker and risk it. Wilson.
You don't joker on something like that.
It wasn't Wilson. I was wrong. It's Walker.
Yes.
Walker.
Yes, it was Walker, yes. But nevertheless, that's more points for me anyway.
It's in my notes because I was going to use, before I found the slide whistle, I was going to use bunches of his things.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it's Andy's question.
Yes, really. I can show you.
Andy, what card game did the submarine crew play? What card game did they play?
They're playing Pontoon. Oh!
Debbie.
Yes.
Why did the doctor say he had to? So I'll try that again. Why did the doctor say he had to go back down on his own free will?
Just to show that he's that he means to show willing to make the first step.
I'll give you that. It's not exactly how it was worded in the script, but it's essentially the same thing. Gesture of good faith was the answer.
I forgot my joker.
You did, yes. Although it's, your joker's been ticked off on it. You've played it.
You played it on the last one.
I played it wrong, yeah.
Yeah, she played it on a...
erroneous question, yes. Right, Mary's go. This is the last round of questions before the one free for all. So anybody who hasn't played their joker should play their joker, whatever. Right then, so Mary, this is your question. What was Walker's assessment of Joe's age? Now, you probably won't get this one. I think it's quite a good question of mine, actually. I reckon I should get a bonus point just for asking this question, because it's such a good question. What was Walker's assessment of Joe's age?
God, I don't remember.
You can't remember? Good. You know what that means, don't you? That means point to me. Anybody else?
Nope.
Was it young girl?
No. But close, but not enough. A mere child. He called her a mere child.
I'm thinking that was off. Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
Sorry, I thought Andy was going to say something then.
Free-for-all.
Not free-for-all yet. That's the last questions of free-for-all. This is still the last round at the moment. Kirby, what did the doctor send the master to look for while Joe waited outside the window? You won't get this one because I'm really good at asking.
No, I won't get this one.
Good, so another point for me. Anybody else?
No. Is it the polarizing
condenser? It is, Mary, yes.
Yay!
Oh, well done, Mary.
It's one of the few things I broke down. I didn't write down much.
Right then. Andy?
Yep.
Why was the doctor spared by the master?
I'll play it the joker because he might still be of use. Get it!
Right, I've played my joker. That means everybody's played their jokers. Oh, good. Yes. Right, so the last round question for Debbie is this one.
Yeah.
What colour were the speedboats the Doctor and the Master chased in?
They're an orangey-yellow.
And the last question before we'll do a quick score count before the last question. It's a bit sort of futile, but never mind. In last place, in a joint last place sort of way, is Mary and Debbie with 8 points each. In third place is Kirby with 12. In second place is Andy with 20. And in the lead with 28 points is me. Last question. The last audible phrase heard in the story was what? It's all gone very, very quiet. This is supposed to be an audio presentation. I do apologise, listeners, for who thought their iPods had broken down for a few seconds there.
Was it till next time?
No. That's a point to me. Anybody else?
No. Come along, Joe.
And another point to me. I give up. No, the answer was, I must obey.
I must obey.
Yes, I know you must. I'm just saying that was the last phrase of the story.
I will not obey.
Yes, you must.
Right. Okay,
right. The current scores before everything changes.
Yellow, reddish.
Join last place, Mary and Debbie with 8. Third place.
I couldn't work it out.
Be quiet. Third place, Kirby with 12. Second place, Andy with 20. And in the lead with 30, me. Things change, though. Mary,
yes,
Mary predicted me. Kirby predicted me.
I'm in last place, yay!
Andy predicted Kirby.
It's kind of freeing.
Kirby
isn't it,
predicted Jen? Kirby.
It's liberating this week.
And I predicted Kirby. So, the final scores. In last place with 8 points. Shut up, Kirby. Last place with 8 points is Debbie. In fourth place with 16 points is Mary. In third place, with 20 points, it's Andy. In second place, with 24 points, it's Kirby. And the winner this week, with 30 points, and quite rightly so, because you lot are all useless, it's me! I've just played the wrong theme tune, bugger. Let's try this one. Oh. Me!
No.
Hang on, let me just play me tune before you protest about the scores. Where's the trophy? Hang on, I just need to get the trophy.
You predicted me.
I did predict you. That's right, Kirby. Well done. I just want to listen to Kirby squirm for a little bit. Carry on, yes? Yes?
Predicted me.
I predicted you, that's correct, yes.
He's still got all the points, Kirby.
Well, we'll see how this works, right? Mary started with 8. She predicted me, so her score doubles to 16. Yes. Kirby predicted me, who had 12 points. His points are doubled to 24. Right? I had 30 points, but my score wasn't doubled, so it stays on 30 points. It's still more than 24.
Okay.
I win again. Sorry, listen.
You actually win very few.
Hang on, the theme tune's not playing. Oh, it is now.
You finished it.
Oh, give up. I was going to play it again because I don't win very often.
I've got to let a cat out of this room because she's just she's
going to let a cat out of the bag.
I've got to put the cat out. I didn't know she was on fire.
I can't hear him. They're all fighting over here.
Anyway, right. I'm sure something's been happening. Oh, yes, there's been some rumours about the new Doctor.
Now, Chris Marshall again.
Chris Marshall has been a very strongly rumoured. And some... Rumoured. Excuse me. Some betting companies have removed him from the list or removed bets from him. They're not taking bets. I beg your pardon?
Yeah, because they think he's a sure thing, don't they?
It's not a sure thing until announced, but I know some people say, I don't like Chris Marshall. Well, I quite like Chris Marshall. I've enjoyed all the things he's done that I've seen. I think he was in, wasn't that film that Richard Curtis wrote? I can't remember what it's called now.
Love Actually,
yes. He was very good in that. He was particularly good in when he was in first. I first saw him in a series called My Family, and he was the star of My Family, and Robert Lindsay was supposed to be the star of it, but Chris Marshall made himself the star of it before he left.
When did he play in Love Actually?
He was brilliant in that.
Yeah. And
did he play?
I'm not sure what he played. I've only seen Love Actually once. Anybody elaborate?
He was supposed to shag the women in some foreign climate or other.
That's it.
Oh, him. Okay. All right.
And, of course, more recently in Death in Paradise, which is a series that we all watch as a family and love quite a lot. But Ardal Hanlon, is he taken over the role now? I can't remember.
He's not very good in it.
So far.
Yeah.
I like him as a character. I think he will fit the series quite well. But John Nestor says, congrats, Adam. Thank you, John. I should hope so, too. And he also says, complex mathematics. Well, it is for Kirby, obviously. right. Yes. So, yes. For me personally, knowing the actor in various different parts, I think he would work quite well playing the Doctor simply because he's got a certain, what's the word for it, oddness about him. That would fit the Doctor, and he can act. He certainly has. He's good at comedy. He can do the dramatic stuff as well. I think, and he's ginger. It's about time he had the ginger Doctor. Do you think?
Well, they make it a lady.
Nah. So I'd rather have Chris Marshall than the lady at the moment. Dinos Daniel says, "What? Now you agree with my prediction? Yes, I do, Dinos. Now they've actually put him as a possible winner without." I'm not going down that road again. Yes, I think it was a bit of me thinking I'd like him to be the Doctor, but I don't think he will be because of him leaving Death in Paradise to be more with his family. But I suppose being in Britain, he can move his family to Cardiff, not a problem.
He could just be saying that, but he's actually come over to be the Doctor.
Yeah.
There's been quite a few high-profile people quitting shows at the
moment. Yes, there has been, yeah. Yeah. But, as I say, I would not be disappointed if Chris Marshall is named as Doctor. I don't think he'd be in the part for very long. He doesn't stay in particular parts for more than a couple of years. So, but he'd be a good Doctor. But there you go. That's my thought. What do you think? Lot think of the possibility of Chris Marshall, everyone?
Yeah, he'd be all right. I think he'd be okay. Yeah.
I think he'd do a grand job.
You do.
And take it in a different direction, and then we'll see what happens.
One Direction? I don't think One Direction, any of them plot. I know they like Doctor Who, but I don't think... Well, apparently they like him, anyway. Maybe they'll be on. They'll get back together for the announcement show. Joshua Dyball says, didn't he drive you nuts in those really unfunny BT ads? Oh, yes. I forgot he was in those. Yes. That's all I know him from. Yeah, he wasn't very good, but he didn't write the ads. He just was told to act... what he did in them, so we'll let him off that. And then there's something about, I can't read that one because it's disappearing up the screen. Let's have a look.
Thank you, Ross.
I can't read it. It's John Naster says, "Hey Mary, when's the date?" Oh, it's just disappeared off the screen again. Where's it gone? When's the date and area convention you mentioned a while ago?
It's in October, mid October, I think, like 13 to 15 or 15 to 18, something like that.
John is in October. There you go.
But it is October.
And then he says, Chris Marshall, never heard of him, got to look him up. Yeah, he's quite easy to find. Right, so what was I going to say next? So what did you Americans think, what you know of him? I suppose you've got to do a bit more research before you come up with that.
I know nothing about him.
I know nothing.
I am from Barcelona.
Okay. Well,
John, the convention is mid-October, 13 to 15, and have you seen the list of guests? It's incredible.
Here we go. Here comes Mary doing one of her publicity stints.
We've got the 7th, 8th Doctors. Ooh. We've got...
Woohoo! Your boyfriend!
What's the name of this convention again?
My boyfriend is coming to my town.
Woo-hoo!
Yes! He's going to propose.
There will be shenanigans.
I'm getting ready.
Joshua Dyball predicts a woman, by the way. But carry on. Yeah, sorry, Mary.
And Sophie Aldred and Simon Fisher-Becker. And Terry Malloy is going to be there.
Ooh, all right.
Obviously, Andy is allergic to Terry Malloy.
There's more people. I can't think of them at the moment. I'll have to scroll and find the thing.
Andy, if you got Terry Malloyitis.
and one of the histamines
going.
Is that there's a company that has preserved a lot of the stuff from the various New Who sets. Mm-hmm. Including those robo people.
Yes.
And you can have your picture taken with, I think he said, sitting at a table with Madame Vastra Strax pouring your tea. Because they've got mannequins that are dressed in the original costumes. I'm still scrolling, looking for all the other guests. I'm blown away with all the people that they have coming.
Tom, we're going to Daytona.
So I just say, next time you see your boyfriend, Mary, be very careful. Don't want any hearing about any, anything inappropriate.
Oh, I wish.
Mary, he's coming to Guildford in May as well.
Who is?
They're doing it, yeah.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the live Skype link up with Tom Baker that we're going to be able to talk to him. Yeah. Oh, and Caitlin Blackwood.
Ooh.
And who's the other one that plays Churchill?
Ian McNeice.
Yeah, he's going to be there too. It's like, geez, how are they going to fit everybody in?
Well done. Cool.
You've done a very good job arranging that convention. Well done, Mary.
Yeah, well done, Mary.
It's taking all my time.
Andy?
Yeah?
Guildford, what's the convention?
It's not. No, it's a play. It's actually a play about a Nazi occupied Germany in the war called Gabriel, and it's Paul McGann and Belinda Lang.
John Naster says he says he loves shenanigans, which is what I was just referring to them because that's obviously what's going to be going on between Mary and Paul McGann.
Of course, you realise they won't get a word out of Paul McGann the whole convention, will they? Because as soon as he opens his mouth, he makes you stick a tongue down.
I'll be keeping him busy, that's for sure. Woo-hoo!
You heard it here first.
Oh, blimey. Can we see live?
Anyway, let's look on, move into Doctor Who news. 40 years of Doctor Who fandom in Australia. The Doctor Who Fan Club of Australia have published a book marking 40 years since the formation of the club. Good old Aussies. We used to have Aussies on this show, do you know.
What happened to them?
Yeah, whatever happened to them. Bedford Who on Charity Con. The third Bedford Who Charity Con takes place on Saturday the 8th of April, and readers of Doctor Who News can get 10% off their tickets. Bedford Who Charity Con is supporting Bedford Food Bank every month. They provide a emergency food for some 500 local adults and children in crisis. Doctor Who fans in the area have managed to raise £8,000 in the last 12 months.
So but if you get the discount, that means less money to the charity.
If you say so. Tickets from Bedford Who Charity Con 3 cost £42.50 for adults, £22.50 for 14 to 18-year-olds and full-time students, and £15 for under-14s. Family tickets are also available. Deb's going to go to that one for us to see what's going down. Yes, I've decided. US cinema outing for series premiere. The Fathom Events are planning to show this year's series premiere of Doctor Who in cinemas across the United States on the 17th and 19th of April, including additional features. There you go, Kirby. There's an opportunity for you.
I might. We'll see. Unfortunately, that's a Monday and a Wednesday, and I don't get a ticket discount on those days.
The actor Neil Fingleton has died at the age of 36. But I mean, normally we see these, and it's like 86, but...
This is that tall guy who was... I forget what the episode
he played the Fisher King.
Yeah.
Under the Lake and
like
Before the Flood.
Massive, like 7 foot something. Or yeah. Massively tall.
Britain's tallest man, I think he was. There's a teaser trailer for Time for Heroes. Is that the episode trailer or the whole... Oh, it's a whole series trailer. We've seen
it's
that.
It's a whole series trailer.
We've seen that, so I'm not going to watch it again. Doctor Who petition gets over 11,000 signatures. A petition to try and prevent the Doctor experience in Cardiff from closing has received over 11,000 signatures. That's pitiful. I'm sorry, but that is pitiful. I signed that petition. I expected more people to sign it. So, yes. So, from that, I would say the Doctor Who experience will be closing.
So I can't believe they would close it. Sorry.
Well, with only 11,000 signatures on a petition, that's probably that amount of people which will visit it in one day. It's going to close. Sorry, Mary.
But why?
Why? I'm asking.
Because it's not getting enough support, is it? If they do a petition to try and keep it open to prove how many people want the Doctor experience, and they only get 11,000 signatures. Oh dear.
Okay, I understand that, but I want to know why is it closing?
Because something to do with the lease on the building in which it's being.
But they built the building specifically for the exhibition.
It says the land currently occupied by the Doctor Experience is owned by the Welsh Government and their development partner, Igloo Regeneration. It was leased to the City Council for 5 years to enable the relocation of the Doctor Experience from Olympia to Cardiff on a temporary basis. It has always been the intention for the site to be developed as part of the ongoing Tiger Bay regeneration project. Sorry. The agreement was always intended to be for 5 years only, reflecting the nature of the attraction. The decision to close the experience at the end of the lease next summer has been mutually agreed by all parties involved, including operators, BBC Worldwide. There you go. It's going to close.
Okay.
That's my thoughts on it as well, the way you said that. Okay, because that's...
It's just okay to your information.
No, but the way you said it is how I feel about it being closing. It's not good. It says Koch Media, it's an unfortunate name. Koch Media are to release a collection of interviews with stars from John Pertwee's era of Doctor Who from Real Time Pictures on the 6th of March 2017. The Doctor's John Pertwee Years, produced by Keith Barnfather. This was a definitive set of interviews with the team of actors who brought John Pertwee era to Doctor Who to life. This 6 hour long documentary is a feature in depth interviews with John Pertwee, Katie Manning, Caroline John, Nicholas Courtney, Richard Franklin, friend of the show, John Levine, and the Dalek voice are provided by Nicholas Briggs. Special feature introduced by Nicholas Briggs and producer Keith Barnfather. There you go.
That's tomorrow.
Great name, Barnfather.
This is a great name. That essentially is it.
So this is going to be available tomorrow.
Apparently so, yes. Do you want to get it? You do. Okay, well, get it then.
How much is it?
It doesn't say.
I guess I have to click on the Amazon link. It goes to amazon.co.uk.
You're real smarty pants, aren't you, Kirby? Right, let's move on.
Getting called a smarty pants.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to a thing called sponsors. Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Be quiet. New products. And these are really quite cool. The 12th Doctor in hoodie. I think this is a 5-inch posable action figure. soon to be nostalgic 5-inch posable action figure of the 12th Doctor. There's another one of him in a jacket and another one in a tuxedo. The single duvet TARDIS design set is £22.49. And the side manager.
I'm not bringing size yet.
I beg your pardon? What?
Are they bringing out a king-size version of that yet?
They probably have, but who won haven't got it yet. Cyberman jug, ideal for tipping milk onto your cereal, priced £9.99. Those are latest products coming soon. It's still on there, the Also People by Ben Aranovich, £25 paperback. Rare one, obviously. Contingency Club, a Big Finish CD starring the fifth Doctor. And the Dalek Teapot, like the one that Alicia got me for Christmas, and I still can't find the box for it, which is really, it's down here. The box for it is really quite cool. I'm going to dig it out. Let's show the viewers. Look at that.
Isn't it cool? I'll actually be able to see it once the video catches up.
Demonstrating to the viewers the little the box my teapot came.
Okay, you're reaching down.
Yeah, I'm putting it back. And then I'm putting my camera.
There it is.
Yes,
okay.
Very unfortunately, during all that, my clanger fell down. So also we have Diary of River Song 2, Eternal Battle, Silent Scream, and an umbrella. All these items available.
Way behind.
What?
What
did you say?
Kirby, your video was way behind mine.
Yeah, because Kirby's got rubbish internet.
The clanger just fell down.
Yeah, it fell down about 5 minutes ago, but never mind.
You're behind me.
That's what she said. Right. Avazi.co.uk still has a lot of Doctor Who products available, along with standard knitwear, etc., etc. Dalek scarf. Which one have you got, Debbie?
One.
Paying attention as usual. Which Avazi product do you have?
I've got the... I was thinking which scarves for a minute there, but I've only got one from Lavazzi, and that's the TARDIS scarf, the red one.
I'm hoping that perhaps if we do get another Doctor Who Festival and you do get a chance to work on the Lavazzi thing, that they give you a free scarf. Oh, that'd be quite good. No. The Doctor Who scarves available, like the 18-foot Tom Baker scarf and the shorter version. So it is 18-foot.
I know. It's still laughable when you think that's probably the size, length of my house.
No, I think it is. My scarf's 18 foot. It's not quite that long. It's longer than this room, though.
I've got the shorter one.
Season 18 scarf. Oh, it's lovely. Have you? That's a strange thing to announce on a podcast, Kirby. But there you go. The Seventh Doctor's hanky, the silk paisley scarf of Seventh Doctor, the Christmas scarf is also still available. Lovely item that is. And the TARDIS scarf and, of course, Pandorica open scarf. All available at whowon.co.uk. It isn't. It's lavazi.co.uk. I'm really not on the ball tonight, am I? All those items available. Yes.
No, finish up with this and I've got a couple other things.
I've got to finish up with that. I was just saying how great Lavazzi are, but they're mine.
Yes, Lavazzi is great.
Yeah, especially the Star Trek items you can get. Unfortunately, two of them are sold out. The Live Long and Prosper umbrella has gone, but you can get the Star Trek logo umbrella, which has got like a blue, yellow and red panel on it. The red panel has the Starfleet insignia on it. It's really quite nice, actually. $26.99. And the Ships of Lines scarf, which has got some lovely sort of blueprints of the various Star Trek spaceships on it. All available from lavazzi.co.uk, and it's Kirby.
I was doing some more investigation on the six-hour-long The Doctors of John Pertwee years. Yeah. It is not. It's not on American Amazon. It is on British Amazon. The price is really good. It's £9.99. So you might want to order that. Also, this
might I?
Keith Bar. Well, it sounds fascinating.
I don't know. Go on. Then. Yes.
Keith Barnfather. Oh. Barnfather was the director and producer for Mind Game and Downtime.
Mm. Okay. Oh, sorry. Is that it?
You know what those were. Those were the yes. non-canonical. Okay.
Yeah, we discussed this last week, didn't we? What they were. Yeah. Right. What's the next story then?
The next Mutants. Story is
Mutants.
What?
Mutants. The Mutants.
However, we've got an interesting situation.
Have we?
First of all, it's a six episode.
A 66 episode one? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Six episodes.
I love Doctor Who, but that's a bit much.
No, I'm not. No, I'm sorry. Might have to skip this one.
We cannot do that in 1 week, and in 2 weeks is Con GT.
So what are you saying, Kirby? We've got to wait until the 26th of March? That's Mother's Day.
Mothering Sunday.
Yeah, you expect me to do a show on Mother's Day? Of course I'm going to do a
Mothering
show
Mothering Sunday.
Yeah, we're all going to do it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, fine by
Why
me.
Why does it say Mary's show? Oh, of course, sorry, I got one of my customers is also called Mary. I just got confused there because it says Mary's show on the 25th of May. I thought, bloody hell. I don't remember you telling me about this show, Mary.
Please remember, in 2 weeks, though, we are doing a show. It's just
yes. What time are we doing it?
Standard time, 7 p.m.
Okay. And yes, the ban, the alcohol and substance ban has been enforced on Mr. Nunny.
Andy's on probation.
Andy, it's not going to be like the time you did fall asleep. We are going to be in front of an audience.
Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't have an audience that one time you fell asleep.
Stop coming on about it. I'm not so much about thought about falling asleep. It's, anyway, moving on. Right. So, yes. So, that's apparently, according to Kirby, we've got a show in 2 weeks' time, a Con GT special. And then the week after that, we've got the Mutants review.
In 3 weeks' time.
Yes. But that is getting very, very close to the new series of Doctor Who, which starts on the 15th of April. So.
And I don't have a... Julia all that time, so I'll be able to fit the mutants in somewhere.
Okay, well, that's great. I'm just putting it in my calendar.
Otherwise, all I'm allowed to watch is Merlin.
Okay. Merlin's good, though.
By the way, Merlin's got lots of Doctor Who people in it.
Merlin's good. It's a good series. Really good series. We love it. We've got every episode.
And it's got a lot of the exterior locations seem familiar to other things filmed in Cardiff.
Do they now?
Except for the castle, which was in France.
Yes, okay. Anyway, listeners and viewers, thank you for joining us for another session of complete lunacy. Please join us again in 2 weeks' time when it'll all be repeated in front of an audience. Bye!
Bring that with you, Kirby.
Sure.
So not going to say goodbye then, fine.
Bye, goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye, y'all.
Hey, you ended it before we said goodbye.
No, I didn't. Obviously, you weren't listening while I was saying goodbye.
I have to go, guys, because I need the loo. Bye.
Talk to you in 2 weeks. Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.